We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky. And yes, I still am here in New Athens, Illinois, but it won't be long, Matt. It's been like in the 80s here in St. Louis, and I'm heading out to where it's a lot cooler up in Northfield, Minnesota. Can you believe that,
North.
Matt? 80 degrees, 82, 86 degrees, I think it was yesterday.
I know. For the early part of May, I think we've set a record high here in St. Louis. Yeah, it is time for John to migrate north.
Yep, get out of the heat. So Matt, you know, we've been sharing these puns from my wife's pun of the day. And by the way, if they haven't been the greatest puns, consider you're the guy who has to put together 365 puns, right? That's your assignment, to do a calendar with 360. I doubt that your thought is, man, I'm going to have the very best puns I can find. I suspect you're thinking, I just got to get as many puns as I can, 365 puns. So do you have anything, any puns you want to share?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple here, John. So, okay. So here's a number pun. For those math and accounting type people out there, to the guy who invented zero, thanks for nothing.
See, now that's pretty funny, and we are the number one Sunday morning or Saturday morning Bible study, not only for herbitologists, excuse me, but also for accountants.
Wow. I that must be a new stat, John.
That's another one of the demographics that Wrestling with the Basics hit. So I'm glad you had that.
I'm impressed how KFUO does those detailed demographics.
They break it down. It's amazing. Yeah, thanks for nothing. So here's one. Well, I'll give you the one that I kind of like, and then I'll say the really good one for next. I was walking in the jungle, and I saw this lizard on his hind legs telling some brilliant jokes. So not anything you would have heard on Wrestling with the Basics. But anyway, this lizard on his hind legs were telling brilliant jokes. I turned to a local tribesman and said, "That lizard's really funny." He said, "That's not a lizard. He's a stand-up chameleon."
I think we need to book him for the show. Stand-up chameleon. Yeah. All right. I got it.
Well, again, you got to have 365 of them, so that's gonna make the list.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay. All right. Here's another one. I don't trust stairs because they're always up to something.
okay.
All right. Here's the one we've been working up to, John.
Yeah,
I know you like this.
This is the one that I actually thought was pretty
funny.
Here
we go.
And we got to get on to Pentecost here. My dad used to say, when one door closes, another one opens. Dad was a terrible cabinet maker. Did I get that in?
Dad
was a terrible
cabinet maker.
Yeah.
Another one opens. Yeah, I got it. So.
Oh, man alive.
Whoa.
Yikes. Did we say
that was a rough year for you last year, John, when you had to read through those? If that was the best.
that was one of the highlights.
Nice.
Wrestling
with the Basics.
Pentecost, yes. we talked last week about the Ascension, but we said we would now explain to you what Pentecost is all about. Have you got any preliminary comments you'd like to make about Pentecost, man?
Well, I mean, I would just
days,
like to...
50 days, right? 50 days after.
50 days. So I just to recap last time, if we have some listeners that maybe didn't listen to last week's episode, it is available, by the way, through KFUO podcasts and recorded. But yeah. Check it out. 40 days after Easter, we have Ascension Day. And we just discussed last week about how that is really a great lead into Pentecost. I mean, really, that's where Jesus, again, promises the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah, he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And then he ascends bodily into heaven. So Jesus here sort of tells them they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And then, yeah, now it is time to be my witnesses. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep things a secret, right? It is time to tell, to share the gospel. Near and far, certainly true for Jesus' disciples, but also true for us as followers today. So then in Pentecost, we see that promise is kept. So 10 days later, the Holy Spirit does come. Jesus, as always, keeps his word, and they receive that power from the Holy Spirit. So then in Pentecost, we get to see how that plays out, how the Holy Spirit is received, and then how really right away they do exactly that. They are his witnesses there in Jerusalem, as they begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's that's kind of the link between ascension and Pentecost.
And before we go any further, I do want to assure all of our listeners that I just shredded all of those puns, so they will never come back again.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, well, I just thought something needed to be done. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read to you the miracles of Pentecost, because that's how it starts off, with some spectacular things. And then again, going back into the mindset of Dr. David Scare, the seminary professor, what's the practical stuff of this? See, okay, we want to be practical about it, primarily because we don't get to do this stuff anymore. Well, let me read it, and I think people will know what I'm talking about. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, as you commented on last week. See, it's the same thing, gathering together. Thanks for pointing that out, Matt. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So right off the bat, any particular things that you want to comment about that strike you about that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think one of the things you commented on last week was they weren't told when this was going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is coming. As Jesus goes up, the Holy Spirit is going to descend. But he doesn't say when that's going to happen. And so you can anticipate, you know, these next 10 days, you know, wondering, you know, what is this Spirit? What, you know, how is this going to happen? When is it going to come? We were told to wait. How long are we supposed to wait? You know, and so here, I love, it says, you know, suddenly there in verse 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. So this expected yet unexpected, right? They know it's coming, but they just don't know when. And suddenly the Spirit comes in an obvious, mighty way, accompanied with the sound of the rushing wind, and accompanied even, as we'll see, with these you know, those flames of fire too. So I think that, you know, there's a parallel maybe to Jesus' return on the last day, that it's promised. We know it's coming. We just don't know when. But when it does come, boy, we're going to know it. There's going to be even a greater sound and things to view than even on the day of Pentecost when Jesus returns. And so we, similar to Jesus' followers, then we await that coming, Jesus' return.
And Matt, you really got me thinking. I like that thought about the suddenly and about the evidence that, yeah, he's here after you've been waiting now for 10 days. Because I'm kind of thinking that probably that first Sunday, right, you know, after the Thursday ascension, they're probably, oh, this has got to be the day, right? This is the day he rose from the grave. We might have thought it was going to be on a Sabbath day, but no. But then nothing happens. Nothing happens, you know. And now you're going a whole week later and still nothing's happened. And I never thought of it that way. How do you know that the Spirit has come? Yeah. See, now we know, we know the Spirit is there every Sunday we gather together. And we know that because Jesus clearly said, where two or more are gathered in my word, lo, there I am in the midst of them. And Jesus clearly said, I'm going to send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we know that whenever we gather together with the Holy Scripture, that Jesus is going to be there. But they don't have the Gospel of John or Matthew or Mark at this point. They don't have the epistle lessons of the Apostle Paul. We don't even have an Apostle Paul at this point. So how are you going to know? Because they've been going to the temple day in and day out. They've been saying their prayers. But I never thought of it that way. I think one of the practical things on Pentecost is just so they know, okay, guys, he has finally arrived. There is no doubt in your minds now that you have him and that you should do the things that Jesus has commanded to be witnesses to Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. No, I think that's important, John. You know, how do they know they have the Holy Spirit, right? And here in this time and in this place of Pentecost, it happens in a dramatic, obvious way. You know, Jesus' word is fulfilled. And this one-time event, right? And I think that can get people in trouble today, though. That question,
oh, yes.
How do you know you have the Holy Spirit, right? And so, you know, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, who may be Pentecostals, you know, sometimes that answer to that question is some of these more you know, I guess outstanding ways that, you know, including speaking in tongues and things like that. And, you know, that's evidence, that's proof that you have the Holy Spirit. And I think we just need to be cautioned by that. Is that necessarily the case? And, you know, I would go back to the scripture. Well, what does Jesus promise? What does scripture promise? Does the scripture say that, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit, then you will speak in tongues somewhere? Does Jesus and his word ever tell us that, yeah, this is the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues? For instance, this is an example. And, you know, we really, you know, don't see that. You know, what's happening here in Pentecost, I think we keep in mind is descriptive of what happens, but it's not prescriptive, you know, that there's going to be flames of fire or rushing winds or speaking in tongues today to show that we have the Holy Spirit. No, God's word just doesn't say that. But like you said, we have other ways of knowing, and they're the ways that Jesus promised that, yeah, when we gather together in his name, his presence, holy baptism, right, which is, yeah, we receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive the Holy Spirit. Scripture's clear. So when we have those promises in God's word, you know, we have these other tangible ways of knowing we have the Spirit in baptism, in worship, in Christ's name.
So here's the thing. It just occurred to me. This isn't important just for them. Okay, so they know that they have the Holy Spirit, that the promised day has arrived, although it is important for them to mm-hmm. know that. Mm-hmm. And it's not only just important for the people who were there that day, okay? Although it's interesting that if you read the story, they kind of downplay the miracles and the wonders. That, you know, they don't say, listen to us because we're doing miracles and wonders. They always point to Jesus. That's why you should listen to us, because we're telling you what Jesus has to say.
Yeah, not, I love
not
that.
Because we're doing some miracles or wonders. Well, you know, and you have that whole thing where they're healing people and the people are just, oh my gosh, you can heal people. And they said, that's not the big deal. The big deal is we have been sent to you here by Jesus Christ. We don't heal anybody except by his power. He's the important one. But it occurred to me that it's also important for us to know that these guys have the Holy Spirit, because these are the guys that are going to write down the scriptures, the things that we read every Sunday, the thing that tells us that, yes, baptism gives you the Holy Spirit, as indeed it's going to actually happen in this story. That's what Peter says. He doesn't say, oh, go speak in tongues. He says, go get baptized and you'll have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So see, it's really important for everyone to know this isn't Matt and John here. This isn't just a couple of pastors who are preaching the word of God. No, these are the very guys who are going to record and reveal and speak the very words of Jesus Christ. They're going to be taught. Well, that's the term that's used, apostle. And I don't know that we really appreciate the power of that word, because that word literally means someone who speaks for you. In fact, his words have the same power of attorney That's the phrase we use in our society. You give someone the power of eternity, attorney, not eternity. Sorry, the power of attorney. And whatever they say, that goes for you. In fact, they could sell off your house, and they have the right to do that because they have your power of attorney. And that's the thing, that these are God's spokesmen. And whenever they speak, whatever they write down, whenever we read their words, that is the word of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus Christ and, of course, the Heavenly Father.
Yes.
By the way, did you see how I got the Trinity in there? Because, of course, I used to be pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church.
I'm impressed, John. You know, after all those years of including the Trinity, you do it with such ease now.
Well, and you know, I'm thinking, see, you were pastor of Ascension, so you only get to do it once a year. But I can do it all the time. You should think about changing the name of your church. Maybe Trinity Ascension Lutheran Church.
Well, there you whatever. Go. Yeah,
that's another. Yeah. That's another.
That's old another, for another time.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Oh, geez. But I do like your point, John, you know, that, you know, as we see in Peter's sermon, if we get that after today, we'll see what happens here. But, you know, the sermon isn't just about, oh, wow, did you see the flames of fire? Did you hear the speaking in tongues and start extolling these fantastical things, as important as those things are in this case? But no, his sermon's all about Jesus, you know, just telling people who Jesus is and using the Old Testament scriptures even to do it. It sounds a lot like a sermon today, perhaps, and rightly so, because that's who we preach, is Christ and him crucified and risen.
So just one more thing, and then we'll leave the wonders and the signs here. Again, kind of going back to Professor Dr. David Skier, the practicality of things. I hope people understand that the only reason the Spirit did this was because it was practical. You got to remember, Pentecost is a big, big celebration. It's like Christmas if you're a Jew. People from all over the area there have assembled here in Jerusalem. But the point is, we need to focus on just a handful of men, these 12 men whom Jesus Christ himself has appointed as apostles. So for the first thing, you make a big noise. You make a great noise. And everyone's going to say, what's that noise? And everyone's going to come towards that great noise. Even as if there was an explosion right now, we'd all want to get up and look out our windows and see what's that all about. So we've got this loud wind that brings them all together. And now the problem is, though, is we've got these people of all kinds of different languages and tongues. And so we need to be able to speak to them. And so the Holy Spirit gives them the ability to speak in all of these different languages. And I don't know if this is correct or not, but I believe that you got 12 guys, and then you have 12 different language groups mentioned in the scriptures. So I'm not saying that for sure, but it's almost like each one of them was able to speak this message in a particular language for a particular group of people. And then, of course, the final thing is how do we get people to focus on these 12 guys in a crowd of 1,000? Well, sticking tongues of fire on them, that probably would catch your attention. What's that guy got in his head? Oh, my goodness. Is he on fire? And he is on fire, but not physically, but with the Holy Spirit. So I'm just simply saying my approach has always been the Holy Spirit is immensely practical. We need to get everybody together. We need to get them focused on these 12 chosen men, and we need these men to be able to deliver them a word of God that they will all understand. And that's exactly what happens.
Yes.
Now, my question, Matt, is where do you want to go from here? Do we need to jump right into the sermon? Do we want to read some of this introductory stuff about the people who are amazed and perplexed? Where do you think we should go?
Sure. excuse me, John, I'm coughing here.
No, it's.
Oh, my goodness.
The pollen from the trees is terrible. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, you're telling me. Let's. Why don't we go on with just continue with the text, if that's okay, and I'll let you read it while I recover from my coughing.
All right, sounds good. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, just like I said. And at this sound, the multitude came together, just like I said. And they were bewildered because each one of them were hearing them speak in his own language. And by the way, I hope people understand that's what the word tongues is. It's the same word. It just means languages. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, oh, they are filled with new wine. Should I stop there, Matt?
Yeah, let's stop there. Yeah, I think that is a beautiful picture, that it's these different regions, right? And yet God provides enough apostles to be able to share the word. And he did wonder, was each assigned their own language? I don't know. You know, Matthias had already replaced Judas, so we do have these 12 there. Yeah, how did that work? What we do know is they hear them telling their language the mighty works of God. And I think that's beautiful. You know, they're not extolling themselves. A lot of attention has been brought to them as individuals, as you pointed out, you know, including the flames of fire. And yet they're not extolling themselves. They're proclaiming the mighty works of God. And, you know, I think we can be pretty certain those mighty works of God are centered in Jesus Christ. You know, just relaying all that they had seen and heard. You know, I think, you know, that's what's so important. These apostles were witnesses, eyewitnesses of what Jesus had done. That was one of the requirements for Matthias to be chosen to replace Judas. You know, just to bear witness then to the mighty works of God in Jesus Christ, you know, his teaching, his miracles, and most of all, his death and resurrection. I wish, you know, we get to hear the mighty works of God in worship, but I mean, wow, that would have been just amazing to hear that firsthand too. And, you know, them share the mighty works of God.
And see, now that you mentioned, that's exactly why I don't need to speak in tongues. I don't want people to think that I am a chosen apostle. All I want to do is tell you what the apostles actually did have to say and what they wrote down. In fact, I'd be very concerned if people said, well, you know, Pastor Lukomsky teaches this. No, I just want to teach what Jesus and what his apostles have to teach. And furthermore, I'm just happy I can speak English. I don't think we probably have a lot of French or Russian people who listen to our show. And if they do, I'm sure they speak English because otherwise they wouldn't be listening.
They wouldn't understand the puns otherwise.
That's true. And probably a lot of them are wishing they didn't understand them. But whatever. You know what I'm saying? That yes. There's no need for that for you and me. In fact, if we would, we're not doing a study about tongues, but if you read on with Paul, I'm not denying that some people may use these tongues as a personal prayer life. Paul does allude to that, but as far as a means of reaching out and proclaiming to people, no, that comes to a very quick end, in the scripture and then likewise in the church. Anyway. We have the word of God, and that's sufficient.
I think this really, you know, it you know, we do the same thing today as preachers, John, right? You know, you know, when we get in the pulpit, we are just sharing the mighty works of God.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. when we as a church confess together the Apostles' Creed, we are just sharing with each other the mighty works of God. And I think, too, that the important thing, especially when it comes to our preaching, is God also seems to care that we share the mighty works of God in an understandable way.
Yes.
You know, here it is with languages, right? But even languages aside, when we preach, you know, one of the things that I aim to do is to share the mighty works of God, but in a way that people actually understand so that, you know, they can take it to heart and that it can be applied to their lives, right? And they can rejoice in all that Christ has done for them. And that's not always easy. That takes a little bit of effort and the guiding of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the mighty works of God in a way that, folks understand. And I hope we do that here in Wrestling with the Basics, too.
And that is why we try to have the most horrible jokes we can possibly have. So there's no problem. People say, oh, yeah, that was John and Matt. Oh, now we're on to the Word of God. We want to make that contrast as strong as possible. so there you go, man.
Yeah, those jokes have nothing to do with the mighty works of God. That's the feeble work of John and Matt.
But you know, it is the thing that we wrestle with, because of course we want to give good presentations, you know, but again, we don't want people to say, oh my, that was a beautiful sermon. No, we want people to know, thank you for telling us the mighty works of God, the greatest of which, of course, is that Jesus loves us and forgives us.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I hear you, John. So as a preacher, you don't want, you know, your style of preaching become a source of pride or to point people to your mighty work of preaching, right? But at the same time, you don't want to be lazy as a preacher and not give any thought to how can I share this mighty work of God in an understandable way. I think that's, you know, that's worth giving some thought to as a preacher. And, you know, Lord, help us in doing that.
So, Matt, I have a question for you, and this again reflects the fact that we don't really plan this. Okay, so we've got like 2 minutes left.
Yes.
What should we do with those 2 minutes? Do we want to begin? Do we want to pick this up next week with what the sermon actually is that Peter preaches? Go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead. You go ahead, John. You got an idea?
Well, I was just going to say, let's wrap up this little business here of the introductory stuff. And then if it's okay with you, because we haven't talked about this in advance, let's just actually get into the sermon proper the next time we do an episode.
Sounds good. Yeah. Don't worry, listeners. John and I are not filled with new wine. we are. This is just who we really are.
Well, and so maybe let me give you that answer right away. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." And so, yes, exactly. This is Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, or by this time, almost 9:30.
The third hour of the day.
Too early for us to be drunk. So when we come back next week, we will look at what the actual message was, what these men who were filled now with the power of the Holy Spirit, what God had promised them and has now been fulfilled, what it is they wanted those people to know, and what it is Matt and I want you to know here on Wrestling with the Basics. Thank you for joining us here on KFUO Radio.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.